There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour. Phone number 251-343-0106. Same for a text, 251-343-0106. And good to talk to for the first time in 2026. Dun-dun-dun, my friend John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you as well. And, you know, you would think, oh, well, this is that sleepy news period. I start looking at the, like, let alone international to national to local, it is, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's firing away on all cylinders heading into the new year. And, you know, we've seen a little bit of that here in Mobile as well.
Yeah.
The news cycle doesn't calm down very much.
Well, I mean, for some reason, maybe we just ignored it or something. It used to seem to calm down a little bit before it ramped back up, but I do want to get into some of the politics going on. Of course, we got May 19th, got primaries coming up, and all the people that were exhausted by the 2025 municipal cycle, I told them to get ready. It's 2026. But Before that, let's talk about this story that I've been talking about since Monday on this station. We got an officer shot. I want to talk about him specifically, but we have people barricaded inside a house in Midtown Mobile, shooting it out with officers. I mean, this is, and then I hear the district attorney talk about whether it's suicide by cop or what do we know now?
Pretty scary situation all the way around. Something very alarming that thankfully Mobile police or any police in this area don't often, if ever, have to deal with. But what the situation was is you had this couple on Sunday morning barricade themselves inside their house. They fired a gunshot off. They fired a round off in order to draw the police to their house.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering how it all started. Unless something happened, you could be barricaded in your house and nobody would know if you just stayed in there. Right.
Well, it sounds like right. In the course of this investigation, and I had a conversation, a lot of the media yesterday did, with Chief Jackson, who kind of gave a update. It sounded like this couple had been barricaded in their house for a long time. I mean, they had stacks of cases of water and ramen noodles, which indicated, you know, that they pretty much were secluded. But what brought police to their residence was, this gunshot that went off. And according to Mobile Police Chief William Jackson, is that the belief is that that shooting, the initial shooting into the neighborhood, was intentional to bring police to the scene so they could open fire on law enforcement.
In doing that, I don't know that it really matters, but I mean, there has been discussion whether it was them trying suicide by cop or, like you said, they had the provisions in there, they're barricaded in there, they wanted to shoot it out. I don't know what difference that makes. I know that the DA has talked about that, but all I know is we have injuries to officers and heavy duty with, you know, one officer who is going to recover, but that's easy. Going to recover, but has a massive damage done to him. We've talked about, we got the link to the fund on our Facebook page and all that. This is going to be a hell of a recovery for Lieutenant Matthews.
Yeah, that's correct. Lieutenant Matthews Mobile police are asking the entire community to keep him and his family, as well as the police department, in their thoughts and prayers. It's going to be a long road to recovery. He's still hospitalized. My understanding is the hope is he'll be released next week so he can begin that recovery process at home. which would be a significant milestone in that to get him released and out of the hospital. But yeah, he was shot in this. From my understanding, lucky that no other police officers were shot on that site. Apparently, at least
two were involved in a wreck.
Yeah, two were involved in a wreck en route to the scene. But it's just fortunate because it was they were armed, they were shooting away, and they were trying to hit as many police officers as they could. It just sounds like a complete ambush is what it sounds like. And
which is a thing. You look at nationally, these ambushes against police. This is that kind of thing where they lure them in and then shoot.
Yeah, that's exactly what this sounds like. And the scary thing in all this is that, and I know it's early in the investigation still, but apparently there's no prior significant criminal history with either of the two defendants. No indications of mental health issues in the past, or drug abuse, or drug related crimes. So it'll be interesting to see what Chief Jackson, his question yesterday when he's speaking to the media is, we have not figured out the why on this, and that's something that they got to I'm sure the two defendants will be going through the court process, and we'll get to that. But at this point in time, it is unclear exactly what their motivation was in all this.
Yeah, and having them, they moved here, right? So they moved here from Michigan, I think it was, to our area.
That's correct. Yeah, in 2022, they moved. Property records indicated they purchased that house. One of the defendants, Justin Stenia, I believe is his last name. Mm-hmm. He purchased a house in 2022, but they both had moved from Michigan, so they were a couple. That's how they've been described. They moved in at least in 2022. That is when they purchased the house. They could have moved after that, but it's only been a few years since they've been here. And according to the police chief, the neighbors in the area, they really had no relationship with this couple. They didn't know too much about them. They weren't the type of couple that was, overly social or friendly, pretty much secluded in their house. And, like I said, the chief indicated when they looked into the house, they found stacks of cases of water and cases of ramen noodles, indicating, they were the type of couple that just stayed inside.
You reported one of your stories at according to a TV report, I saw that talked about some this morning, that the woman in this Perot told the judge here she deserved to stay in jail. Like she didn't even though there was a $3.1 million bond, but she deserved to stay in jail.
Right. So it indicates clearly she knows what was going on. $3.1 million cash only bond, which is you don't see that every day.
No, that one got my attention. Each, y'all. Yeah. John said it's $3.1 million each in this.
Right. So they're not getting out of jail anytime soon. But the bond hearing was early Monday morning. I was unable to attend, but TV reporters were there, and I believe it was Fox 10. They did a pretty good report on that. Just, she made those comments during that bond hearing, which suggests to me that, clearly she knows, at least she does, that, what they did, and she's not getting out.
Doesn't want to get out.
Foreseeable future.
Yeah,
doesn't
want to
get out. Now, the question is whether or not she fired any. If she fired a weapon at the police or if it was all done by him, that's a question that seems to be unanswered. Now, Police Chief William Jackson indicated they both were culpable in this, so that's kind of where we're at right now with that. But at any rate, it was a very scary start for the new year for Mobile Police, and keep Lieutenant Matthews in your prayers.
100%, y'all. And that link to the page there to give money that goes directly to Lieutenant Matthews for his recovery is on our Facebook page. John, while we're talking about public safety here, too, it's election year, y'all, and it's even in the world of the sheriff, as the polls are it. Everybody can just say, hey, I'm going to vote for Paul. But you got Prine and Birch here, and they spoke Monday night.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the first time that the two candidates running for Mobile County Sheriff were speaking at the same political event, I call it a forum, essentially is what it was. It was a meet and greet. Really kind of the first one that we'll see. We're going to see several of these this spring. And both Sheriff Birch and former police chief Paul Prine were there, and they provided each candidate was a lot of other candidates there as well. You had some candidates running for U.S. Senate there, some candidates running for CD1, so on and so forth. And at the end, the two sheriff candidates closed out, which I thought was interesting. They were each given 7 minutes to talk about themselves, talk about their platforms, kind of reintroduce themselves. I think both Chief Prine and Sheriff Birch, most people in that audience there know who they are, but nonetheless, it was interesting, and I was able to talk to both of them afterwards. Kind of a little bit of indication of where the two candidates might go with regards to their campaigns and what they're going to emphasize. I know that Paul Prine raised some questions about transparency within the sheriff's office, and questions about increased budgets within the sheriff's department in the last several years. And then Sheriff Birch, he raised questions, or he suggested the whole situation, a very high profile situation involving Chief Prine 2 years ago and his exit from as Mobile police chief would be something that he would think would be a concern for someone who's running for sheriff. So, the two candidates laid out there, kind of started laying things out. And I think, I know it's early. Well, it's not really early, but I know it's
I don't think early, it's early. I mean, in today's world, in politics, I mean, people are like, well, it's not, the primary is not till May. That's like tomorrow in the political world these days.
Yeah, I think after you get past the holidays and get the new year, we're going now, but we also have a legislative session to get through, and
that starts next week, doesn't it?
It's next
week.
Correct. State of the state's next week, and
my DVR. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, well, then we'll be. I think a lot of folks are skeptical too. Those of us in the media about how impactful this legislative session might be, but we may be surprised. We'll see. I don't know, but I have this sense that you're going into an election season, and they're going to want to get in there and get out as fast as they can, and they're getting in there early. That's for sure. In January, typically,
yeah, it's February
again until February. Yeah.
And y'all hear what John's saying, because to understand that there's a motivation some years versus others. I mean, to get done quickly, you'd be like, well, no, the people's work is the people's work. Yeah, well, and then sometimes they get done much more quickly than they do in other years. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, just back to that sheriff's race real quick. Yeah, that's going to be one of the more high-profile local races we'll have heading into the primary, and that's something that, there will be several forums after this, and I anticipate more interesting discussions heading into that May 19th election. It's going to be one of the more high profile ones. Locally, I'm trying to, we got to still get an idea. Qualifying still going on until the 23rd. So we got to get a better idea who's going to be running for several of the state house seats that are local, such as state senates and representative seats, and also county offices. But the sheriff's office is one of the more high profile.
I'd say it's probably the most high profile if you're just looking at a county. I mean, there's only 67 of them in the state.
Correct, and I agree with you. It's very it's an agency that runs a very large budget for within your county government. So yeah, it's something that's that's very important. I think the public's going to be very interested in this race, and it will be determined in the primary, and I'm not sure if any Democrats running yet for sheriff, but again, qualifying goes until January 23rd. So we never know. We may be surprised. We may get more basketball players and broadcasters running for office before we're set.
You never know in today's world. John, people want to read this story, of course, al.com, or if they want to reach out directly to you online, how do they find you?
Yeah, at JohnSharp99 on the socials, X, Blue Sky, and Threads.
All right, good stuff. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, thanks.
All right, there goes John Sharp, and we'll be right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, who was telling me during the news break, it's a really good time to buy. And you said that sandwich is made of two parts.
Well, it's a lot of different pieces, you know. I don't know how thick you like your sandwich. You always get some kind of great analogy. A lot of dealers right now are trying to stack up cars for tax season, you know, and some of those guys you want to buy cars from, some of them you don't. I mean, it just depends on what kind of cars they carry. But like for my instance, I mean, we're carrying a steady inventory, you know, 70 to 100 cars on the ground at any given time. The interest rates and everything are low right now, so inventories are really good. There's a good selection out there. I just had a buddy of mine come by a while ago looking for a car for his daughter. And he said, everything that we're looking for, you have on the ground. We just have to figure out what we want. And, man, that's a good feeling when somebody tells you that, because you don't have to go out and search for it, which, of course, you know we will.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a great selection on the ground, it's and interest rates and whatnot are doing what they're doing. I know everybody's trying to get back in the groove after the holidays and this, that, and the other, but it is a great time to be out looking for a vehicle.
And those interest rates, I mean, as we hear those national stories about interest rates, they're reflected like next morning at your shop.
They come all the way to Theodore every single time.
All right. Tell folks how to find
family,
you.
Family Security, Wells Fargo, all these banks, I mean, that we do business with, Ally Financial, even the secondary companies, all of them, Alabama Credit Union, those rates come down immediately as soon as they're released.
So you don't have to, there's not some 1 month lag or something like that. It's a next day thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's happening instantaneously almost. But if you want to come see us in person, we're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. If you want to give us a holler, it's 251-375-0068. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Extremely user-friendly. There's a place you can click and text with us. We can fill out a credit app on there. Anything you want to do, let us know.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good day, buddy.
All right. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Grab a couple of texts here before the news. Joshua, he's asked earlier, sorry, I missed it. He said, which one is more socialist, Norway, Sweden, Netherlands, or Finland? Sad to see those Vikings turn into commies. I think they're all equally socialist. I don't know. I have not. Is one a touch? I don't know. Norway, I think they're all very similar. He said, sad to see those Vikings turn into commies. You know, though, if they were kind of doing it back then. The redistribution, or well, they redistribute the wealth of the places they went to. So I don't think this is new, Joshua. The Vikings would go into a place like England, they go into France, they'd come to my forefather's home in Ireland, and they would take things from those people to give to themselves and other people. I think they were really, to be honest with you, they were onto something. They were on that socialist bent way beforehand. They were redistributing the wealth of the places they conquered. So, yeah, they were already on it. And Joshua goes on to say, Greenland, population approximately 59,916. Mobile, 183,029. We could take them. Yes, I guess we could. Mobile would smoke Greenland. Yeah. How about we just stop with the military start idea and just go my method. How much would it be? Okay, so if there's, what is it? You said 59,000. Let's call it 60,000. 60,000 people in Greenland, Greenlanders. And we need them to have a right of referendum vote to become part of the United States. Pay them all $250,000. Isn't that a lot cheaper to do it? Like, let's just pay them, say, hey, listen, if y'all will vote to become part of the United States, everybody gets a $250,000 check. And see what they do. I know that would disappoint Lindsey Graham, wanting a war, but isn't there a way that's less expensive and doesn't risk the lives of Americans? But Joshua, what do you think? The original socialists for the Vikings, redistribution of wealth. Even if people said no, they redistributed it.
Uh-huh. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and great time to check in with the professor at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Ron, looking at gold and silver prices today, a little bit down right now. A little, and I say a little for the long term, just a little.
Yeah, it was mostly profit taking. People selling large ETFs and things of that nature. You get gold up in the 80s, I mean, people are going to profit take pretty quick. I mean, a lot of stuff's automatic with a lot of the big institutions. They have to do it. It just happens based on when the price hits a certain number. And that number seems to be over 80 is when they keep profit taking. But it's been climbing. It dropped about $7.
So silver goes to 80, and then they got to put, I mean, they got a call there where they sell?
Yeah, most of the larger institutions with their hedges, it's an auto robot to do it, you know, computer software. So at a certain level, it sells, and they have to profit take. But otherwise, the way things are nowadays, the investors will sue them and, you know, for not doing their fiduciary responsibility, so they just automatically do it at certain levels, and then they rebuy again when it drops. Kind of silly. If you look at it in the long run, they'd be better off not doing it that way with fees and everything else, because customers get fees every time that stuff happens. But it's just a way to profit take. Everybody out there that's listening, I mean, if you're buying silver and gold, you're like, I don't know when to sell. The answer is nobody knows when to sell. So you just pick a number you're happy with, and when it gets to that number, do it. And don't, no regrets. You know, if you've made money and you're happy with the transaction, don't sit there and lament on it the rest of your life, because people do. They're like, if I would have waited, like people that were selling at 50, you go, man, if I'd have waited till 80. Well, yeah, if it could have, should have, would have, right? So I try not to let that stuff run my life. And it's easy for me to say, it's hard for people to take that to heart, but just become comfortable with the numbers and pick when you want to sell and then sell.
Well, I look at this for something like silver, right? We talked about this a couple times. I mean, I was buying silver from y'all in the teens. So whether it's 77 bucks or 80 bucks, it's a lick.
Yeah. Think about that, Sean. During COVID, it was like 13 to 14 bucks.
Yep.
And that was 3 years ago. So, I mean, silver's really done a run. It was way overdue. It isn't like it just magically says, hey, let's just run silver up to $80. It had been way behind gold and silver as far as the gold and platinum, as far as the ratio. But that's closed up a lot. I mean, the ratio is under 60 right now, I think. And it's been almost not in my lifetime, but since I met Angelo Semifaro, it hasn't been that low. And that was, you know, almost 20 years ago. So it just shows how long the silver's been undervalued. And at least it's coming up to where it should be. At least everybody feels it should be in the 70s to 80s. Hopefully things will settle down, and of course things will probably still climb, Sean. I mean, you don't want things to drop, but at the same time, we don't want to be paying $15 per gallon of gas or, you know, $20 for a gallon of milk. If inflation keeps going on, it doesn't matter. Unless you have silver, you're to offset those, or something in a hedge to offset those losses, you just have to eat that. So it's really what the bullion we try to stress to people. It's for a hedge against inflation.
Yeah, this is why I call you the professor. Number one, people getting the education there on you've been telling me for years about that ratio between gold and silver, and to watch that. It was proven itself. And then the part about being a hedge, even though y'all are in the business of selling precious metals, you've always been very conservative, very wise with it. You're like, don't put everything in this. Make it part of what you do, but don't put everything in this.
Yes, sir. People, especially if they've been buying lately, we make sure they understand, hey, there's a risk with all investments. Just because it's doubled in the last few months doesn't mean it's going to double again. But of course it could. You don't want to tell them not to do it. You just want people to, like we talk about, cost average it, buy a little bit over time and kind of watch it. But some people can't. They just want to stick all their money in and be done with it, which is, of course, it's their money. It's their call. I just give the best advice I can based on my experiences. Since I'm not an investment advisor, I just have, you know, 50 years of experience doing this stuff. So I try to share that with people.
All right. In addition to those items, precious metal driving a lot, but gift items still, people got birthdays coming up, all those kind of things. You get any open L's left?
Oh, plenty of open L's. We restocked on those. And a good thing for people still getting into the silver, I don't mean to jump back to that, but the premiums are down on everything. So a lot of stuff that used to be was out of their range because it was a pop culture item. If silver goes up, those pop culture items don't rise at the same rate. So a lot of them are just right at silver or over silver spot. So if you're going to stack, you can stack some premium stuff, and it's not going to cost you a whole lot more than if you're stacking just regular bullion that's not monetized or doesn't have a collectible value per se.
All right. Well, tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can call us at 251-725-1590 or find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
There goes the professor. I always appreciate his insight. All right, go to the phones here, and then we'll come to the text line as well. On the phones, Ed up first. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Regular listener.
Thank you.
Our politics usually agree, but isn't this sort of like an ongoing criminal enterprise when we're talking about going in? We're getting rid of the bad guys, but how are we setting up the good guys, and what are the politics therein? It's a big mess. I mean, it's an ongoing big mess. Can you agree with that?
Yeah, but it's interesting. So setting up the good guys, are you talking specifically to Venezuela or around the planet? What do you, like, which good guys?
Well, kind of, sort of. Well, right now we're in a hot, you know, cold war with Venezuela as such.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the poison that they're bringing into our country, they are our enemies as far as I'm concerned. If they're bringing in dope, you know, loads of dope.
Oh, yeah, and it's it was interesting, after reading what the prosecution had said against Maduro, at least the allegations there, it wasn't just like the way I understand corruption, where, you know, the drug dealers would pay the government to look the other way. It wasn't that at all. What they are laying out is they were in cahoots together. It was like they all working together. It wasn't like here's a bag of money, don't look this way, we're going to walk behind you here. It was, hey, we're all in it. So but then, of course, we now are talking about oil. The president's, you know, off the drug thing to some degree, and now talking about that oil.
Right. And it was like back in the day with Noriega. You got to get, you know, to get this, you know, the bad stuff out of the way, and then make, you know, to make deals for oil. We need the oil. My father lived over in the UAE for a couple of years when they were making initial oil strikes. When those folks, it's a long time ago, but they didn't know what they had and how rich they were. But what are we going to do to promote the good for our country and economically?
I think you could do it in Venezuela. I can't figure out why Venezuela, even with the socialist system, which is horrible for business, with all the oil revenue or oil that they have to sell, why that didn't, you know, the old thing they used to say at companies I worked with, gross cures all, Sean. You get the gross up, then that cures all the things in your budget you're putting in there. Seems like you could
all
put a good guy
rise on a rising tide.
Yeah, well, if you put a good guy in Venezuela, you got to, you're not trying to figure out how their country's going to make money. You got the oil. If you produce the oil at bigger levels than they are now, you talk about the UAE, you talk about places, the Gulf states, they all live pretty good.
Absolutely, they do.
So I don't know why Venezuela couldn't do the same thing with a good guy at the helm, or a good gal. We'll see.
There it is. And then when we can do business with those folks, if possible, then those, again, all ships rise on the tide. And so that we can help ourselves, you know, to make our country better to a degree. But we're doing business. We're paying the folks, but we're gaining some access to goods and services that we need, as in oil or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, we need additional. Okay. And appreciate the call, Ed. We need, as my buddy Jay Young said on the show on Monday, you go back, he's the oil guy out of Texas who comes on from time to time with me. You know, the delta in this is, I think we need 20 million barrels a day, and we produce 7, or we produce 13. We either need 13 or 7 every day from somewhere else. To the text line here, let's see. Unnamed texter, said population, okay, talk about Greenland. The population, 56,000, but registered voters less than 40,000, with only 60% voter turnout, all under technical control of Denmark, who's trending towards allowing it full independence. Chinese are already doing business there and wouldn't take much for them to buy enough influence to control it. Hopefully Trump's rude talk is the only to force Greenland and its weak mentor, Denmark, to make a deal to keep the belligerents out for good. So you're talking about influence, though. What do you think about, texture, what do you think about my idea? you don't even have to buy Denmark. You just buy the vote. Say, listen, if y'all vote in this referendum for independence, full independence from Denmark, every one of y'all will give you $250,000. This is a good deal. And then we get, then Greenland becomes part of the United States. And we don't do any talking about militaries and all that kind of stuff. Although we do need to pay off our debts here in this country. But, hey, it's a good deal. I know, you know, it's like the guy, I know I owe a ton on my credit cards and everything. But, man, that guy's selling that four-wheeler for cheap, man. I gotta buy it. I need that. You know, you ever done that with your buddy? I'm like, well, no, you want that. Man, I need one of that. I'm going to make an investment in a four-wheeler. No. You want one, that's a cool thing, but, you know. All right. Joshua says, you make a good point. I never thought about it that way. Maybe proto-commies. Yeah, what we're talking about is Joshua was lamenting seeing the Vikings turn into commies. And I said, well, listen, maybe they were commies before they were called commies. Because the Vikings, you talk about redistributing wealth. There's wealth over here. And so they go take it. And allocate it somewhere else, back to the Viking village. So they were the original reallocators of revenue and human slaves and all that kind of stuff. B-Dark, that is good information. Said Sean, aluminum cans are up to 65 cents a pound. Yeehaw. I sold off a big bunch of cans, B-Dark, about a month ago. I made okay lick, but knowing that the money's up there, I guess I got to get to drinking this weekend so I can make that money, right? That's why I said, I think it's Novelis is located at its aluminum plant here in South Alabama because they realize how many cold soft drinks, yeah, cold Cokes we drink and all that extra aluminum. 65 cents a pound. Listen to that. You won't be able to find a can laying on the side of the road now. That's a good thing. Let's see, Chris in Sierra Leone. The invasion of Venezuela has less to do with Venezuela than it does China. 70% of China's oil came from Venezuela. Right, so I've said that. I agree with you, Chris. Remember, I was talking about this a month and a half ago when we started moving the fleet. When you moved the USS Gerald Ford, aircraft carrier, probably our most advanced aircraft carrier, into theater, along with the whole contingent, right, the strike group, that told me this wasn't about drug boats. We were a month and a half of talking about that here. I said just, and I'm just some hayseed from South Alabama, but... So it is about China. Chinese, there were Chinese officials. It wasn't Xi Jinping or anything, but there were Chinese officials that were meeting in Venezuela, I think within 2 or 3 days of us going in on Saturday. Kind of interesting. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. I got a text from one of my buddies here. Said, if we buy Greenland, we're totally taking a trip. I'm in. I think it's Moz yesterday said... we buy Greenland, we wouldn't have to, you know, we'd be inside the United States to go hunt king eiders, which there's a few people who know with it. It's a duck. It's a sea duck. Yes, and plus, my theory is if we're melting so quickly at the northern latitudes, I go in there and buy the land. That's, you know, it's just all snow or whatever. I buy the land, it melts. You think you got some big ranches in Wyoming. It could be a big, you would run cattle up there, and then the cattle are there to sell into the European market. Come on. Will be a Greenland cowboy. The numbers here, I think it's interesting. If we've got 60,000, about 60,000 people, 60% of them vote. I don't know. I would much rather just buy their votes and than do anything else militarily. But let's buy their votes. Let's just buy them off. All right, a named texter said, Sean, disability is everything you just said, only that maybe disagree with everything. I don't know. It says, Sean, disability is everything you just said, only that four-wheeler might appreciate. I think Greenland would appreciate if you did everything you just said. Yeah, maybe. And I think you meant you disagree or you agree. I don't know. Now, the four-wheeler's not going to appreciate if it's like a... It's going to have to be... Now, if you have a Honda Big Red, You see how much people are selling those things online for? I mean, they were cool when they came out, but they're like, that three-wheeler that, I don't know when they made the last big red, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and those Hondas are selling for like close to what they sold for back then. But the four-wheeler I'm describing here, Texter, is not one that appreciates, but, well, I think Greenland would. All right. Ricky adds this, and I can't follow all the YouTube stuff here, Ricky, but dollars will collapse. All hell is coming. Ricky knows World War III. It's not about the oil, Sean. World War III, Ricky, it's always about the oil. It is always about the oil. That's, it's always about the oil. Let's see. C.B. Carl. The main concern I've always had about President Trump is his history of bankruptcy. This idea of buying Greenland with money we don't have falls right into that concern. We need to allow, and then on about Venezuela, said we need to allow them to seat the leader that the people of Venezuela voted for, then send them a bill for our efforts payable in oil and gold. I like that too. Now you put the, you go back to the money thing, then I'm in. This is, I don't get this. And Michael, I mean, we could clear this up on the text line. Michael's saying, I guess I'm back in timeout again because I'm calling Cam's position irrational and retarded. I read your text to him. You texted this four times here, three times. I read it and Cameron answered it while he's on. So I don't know what else I can do there, Michael. Go back and listen to the tape. Ask the question. Do I have time for the Florida man story? Yeah, let's do this. We'll leave with this because there's a lot of bad stuff going on right now. Washington, Minneapolis, of course, we'll be reporting on that tomorrow. This update from Florida Man, pretty good stuff. Out of Polk County, Florida, Matthew Zaccarino, 39 years old, of Altamont Springs, Florida, was found on a construction site. Okay, well, that seems normal. Wearing with a red lace bra, silicone breast implants, and a G-string, according to the sheriff's office. Zaccarino was not alone, was alone near the vehicle, thank God, near Ernie Caldwell Boulevard, Grandview Parkway, when sheriff's deputies approached him. Deputies say Zaccarino was, picture this here, standing near the passenger side door when he began putting on the bra and G-string. Deputies told Zaccarino to stop moving, but he removed the undergarments instead. He must have misunderstood him. Deputies said they found a gun then hidden beneath one of the breast implants, according to the arrest report. Zaccarino, they said in the report, reached inside the vehicle and deputies then handcuffed him and took him into custody. Zaccarino told deputies he was on his way to a costume party. Okay, so he stopped by the construction site to put on the outfit there. Then he refused to provide an address when asked where the party was. He was then charged with trespassing while armed with a firearm, loitering, prowling, and resisting arrest without violence, a lace bra, G-string, and a hidden gun. Florida man all the way. There you go. It's going on a state away. Even though they kick our butts and a lot of other stuff, but I guess they win their stories as well. You know, that's the reason why. We've talked about it before. It's about the way Florida releases information on arrest. That's why you see so many Florida man stories. People are doing the same stuff in here at home probably and states all over the nation, but the way they share the material out of Florida is why we get the goodness in a bad way of the Florida man stories. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on FM Talk 106.5.